First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of Spouting Off here on WSMN 1590 AM. WSMN and 95.3 FM. Looks like there's a whole lot of global warming going on across the country. Even here in Texas, there is mucho global warming. People are getting off from work because of the rain and the sleet and the snow. And the rain, the sleet, and the snow cannot stop the left from perpetuating its continual lies about global warming, about hysteria, pretty much any kind of hysteria you want that is immaterial and irrelevant to people's lives, they want you worried about. But the stuff that is going on that they don't want you to look at, that they'll tell you it doesn't matter. Well, I got a lot on my mind today, and I love when people call in. If you're listening live, you can call in at 603-816-1590 if you've got something on your mind. We're going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. On my favorite website, well, one of them, I have a lot of favorite websites, and I have a lot of unfavorite websites, but the one that seems to have won out for me since Drudge sold out, either figuratively or literally, I'm not sure, Drudge used to be the place to go for news. And that is the Liberty Daily. I love the libertydaily.com. And if you go there right now, you're going to see two headlines. They do their website very similar to the old Drudge Report, which I never visit because it's been completely co-opted by the left. Don't forget, the left cannot tolerate dissent. They must take over. They must shut you down. They must tell you to shut up or they will punish you. That is the left of today, completely the antithesis of what they used to stand for, that and so much more. So if you go to the libertydaily.com, you'll see two headlines, one in red currently, which says Biden-Harris regime left as many as 9,000 American citizens in Afghanistan after withdrawal. Senate report reveals. Now, the propaganda media won't report that because it doesn't serve their leftist compatriots. It's hard knowing whether the propaganda media controls the left or the left controls the propaganda media, but they're working hand in iron fist glove. That's what they're doing. And then under that, there's a picture of fascist Fauci, and it says, when do the Nuremberg 2.0 trials begin? The reason that these two headlines sparked my interest is this. I just posted something on Facebook. I posted the Biden-Harris regime left as many as 9,000 American citizens in Afghanistan. Well, they are importing thousands upon thousands of unvetted illegal aliens and telling you you're racist if you don't like it. They left 9,000 citizens in Afghanistan. My question on my Facebook page, if you'd like to visit it, yeah, I'm still on Facebook, is this. Is there any excuse for that whatsoever? Is there a reasonable, sensible, sane excuse for leaving for an American government to leave 9,000 American citizens stranded in a terrorist country to be held for ransom, caught, tortured, or killed? This is a dishonor to everything America has ever stood for. I must say, even its enemies in Israel respect the fact that Israelis always take their war dead and make sure that they get properly buried. They don't leave people behind. This is a dishonor. And yet, we're to believe that there was some reason. No wonder they didn't report it until the Senate put out a report, more than 6 months ago? Is there an excuse for that? No, there isn't. Meanwhile, there was a hearing on the COVID insanity about what has been done to people with COVID, not allowing them to get treatment that works, forcing treatments and shots on them that either don't work or could be deadly, that haven't been properly tested, properly vetted, and to force an experimental drug on people or threaten them with their jobs or worse. Thank God truckers in Canada are inspiring not only the nation but the world in something oh so small and unimportant like freedom. Oh my goodness. Anyway, the combination of those two stories, think about it for a minute, the juxtaposition of those stories, one must have the courage to ask, has our government turned against its own people? If they would leave American citizens in Afghanistan to the enemy that we've been fighting for years, just leave them there. Leave the enemies with our war equipment that's paid for by American taxpayers. And I know you've heard this before, but few people ask the question, what possible excuse is there for this? You cannot attribute it to incompetence. There comes a point in which you have to ask, is this what they want? Yes, this is what they want. Convince me otherwise. Is it what they want, that they want to push drugs that kill people and suppress drugs that don't? Suppress drugs that treat people, that get people well? Is that intentional? You tell me. 603-816-1590. Now, I'm going to shift gears because all I can do is ask the question. Now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I don't know how sublime any of that was, let's talk a little bit about Whoopi Goldberg, whose name is not Goldberg, for sure. Now, if you've been living under a rock, because, you know, we get these propaganda media insanity. Actually, it's not propaganda in this case, but it's a media firestorm. I mean, we just go from one media firestorm to the next. And the latest media firestorm is about Whoopi Goldberg. Apparently, her mother, someone said that if her name was Goldberg, she would be more successful because, you know, those Jews in Hollywood, they're successful. So what Whoopi Goldberg said was ignorant, stupid, and ridiculous. She said the Holocaust wasn't about bigotry or racism. Ignorance. But the conservative side is having a big debate. Most people are saying fire her for what she said. Other people, like PJ Media, I just read this. PJ Media is saying, yeah, under normal circumstances, you should not engage in censorship and fire her. But in this case, it's mutually assured destruction, and we should fight fire with fire. If you nuke us, we'll nuke you, and we all die in a hellish inferno. That's, I quote, PJ Media's article here, the title of which is this, Fire Whoopi, Mutually Assured Destruction is the Only Way to End Cancel Culture for Good. Well, I'm going to take issue with Megan Fox over at PJ Media and say that mutually assured destruction happens. Well, let me put it this way. If Megan Fox thinks that you're going to end cancel culture for good, you're wrong. Not that way. You know why? Because the left has been calling the shots from the beginning. If you get in to the pig pen with these people, then you just validate what they're doing. That doesn't mean that ABC doesn't have a, quote, right to fire her, okay? But then who gets to decide what is and isn't stupid? Does ABC get to be? Actually, ABC, they're a private company. They can fire and hire anybody they want. ABC is a purveyor of leftist insane ideas to begin with. Do you actually think that the other women on The View have more intelligent views because they believe that there are 57 genders, and then suddenly these feminists are totally okay with a 250-pound male wrestler pummeling a woman in a wrestling ring? All he has to do is say, he identifies as a girl. And suddenly, that's intelligent? Whatever happened to the marketplace of ideas, ladies and gentlemen? That's what I think. I'm not in agreement that you're going to end cancel culture for good because the odds are stacked against you. Were they as outraged? Number one is crocodile tears, because the left is already purveying, working they are the purveyors of Jew hatred. So when they point the finger at Whoopi Goldberg, who said something stupid, I don't know what her problem is. I think I do. She thinks that only black people could be victims of racism and bigotry and hatred, you know, which is nonsense. You could hate someone for wearing brown shoes, and it ain't illegal to be stupid. But that's beside the point. I don't think it is a fair fight. Remember when Roseanne Barr lost her entire show for something she said, and she's Jewish. I don't remember even what she said. But because she was pro-Trump, they took her show away from her. Now, I think the answer to that is to stop watching ABC. It's getting a little bit narrow, the entertainment in this country, when you do that. But guess what? You never can tell when you're being confronted with left-wing propaganda. They put it in everything today. I'll have to have on a friend of mine who is one of those rare conservative movie critics that talks about movies where you're not going to be bombarded with left-wing politics. It's funny. The left is doing exactly the same thing. They're saying, don't watch any of those old movies because they put out traditional values and they're oh so old fashioned, you know, those old fashioned values like having a conscience, holding yourself responsible, personally accountable for what you do, believing that you're accountable to a power higher than yourself, whatever you conceive that to be. So yeah. The left is doing it. Let me give you another example of what the left is doing, that they're always 10 steps ahead of us. So that's why I want to at least be 8 steps ahead of them. And that's this. I've been complaining for a long time about, well, the left has been putting sexually obscene, truly obscene, age-inappropriate books in libraries, particularly in places like Wyoming and South Dakota and all the most conservative places, to provoke conservatives to try and get those books off the library shelves. Now, that's perfectly reasonable. We do have R-rated movies now, don't we? As a social worker, I can tell you that exposing children to sexual material that is beyond their grasp can be and is very often abusive. That's why minors are protected in this country. What's the left doing? They're twisting that upside down and backwards on purpose, because what did they do? They wanted to ban Mr. Potato Head and Dr. Seuss. You see how it works? They provoke conservatives into falling into the trap. Well, in this case, it's not a trap, because conservatives have to get more articulate about explaining Dr. Seuss is not sexually obscene, but the stuff you're putting on library shelves is. It's quite clear. You just got to be able to articulate it. Looks like I got to stop spouting off for a break. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Such an honor and a pleasure to be with you. Have a wonderful guest coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back to everyone. We're going to talk about, you're listening to Spouting Off here with Karen Cataline, and we are going to talk about wellness, but particularly preventing cancer and all things health. My dear friend and WSMN's dear friend, Juan Gaud, told me that this week is Cancer Prevention Month. I guess we will find out from our guest. Her name is Susan Smith-Jones. she is a PhD holistic health educator, lifestyle expert with over 40 years experience. Believe it or not, she's the author of 33 books, says that's too much. Unmanaged stress can sabotage even the best of health intentions. And so we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more having to do with health. Thank you, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, for joining us.
And what a name. Now listen, Karen, these are real names. I'm not married. And you should see when I go to a hotel and check in, they look at me like cross-eyed. Can't you think of a better name? And I've decided if I ever choose to get married, it'd be great to have his last name Brown. Then I can have all of America's most popular names.
Now, I just got to ask you, Susan, if it's okay.
Yes, anything.
Susan. So if you haven't been married, how'd you end up with the middle name of Smith?
They're just family names that I got. Yep, they're just family names.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And it's always a joke, you know, when people hear my name, but that's all right. And
well,
tomorrow
remember,
is National Cancer Day, February 4th. So that's why my new book, Wired for High Level Wellness, is all about health and healing and how to look and feel 10 years younger in 30 days, but... I know
Let's
that
talk
cancer
about
scares
cancer,
lots of people.
About the prevention of cancer, which everybody is concerned about. I think they needed a better name, National Cancer Day. But beside that, give us a couple of pointers in how you think good, healthy people, not good, all healthy people can, what they can do to prevent cancer.
Okay, and it's not so hard to prevent it. You know, according to the American Institute for Cancer Research, here are the main risk factors for developing cancer or exacerbating it if you have it. One is being overweight or obese. I'll tell you why with each one in a moment. One is following a diet high in red meats, processed meats. Another, eating minimal fruits and vegetables. Also consuming too much salt, fat, sugar. Smoking, neglecting to exercise. These are all real important risk factors for cancer. And it's number one is maintain a healthy weight. Here's why. Fat cells produce estrogen that feeds breast cancer and uterine cancer and also releases these hormones that accelerate cancer growth. You know, in terms of diet, as my grandmother told me as a teenager, and I've taken to heart all these years, you want to look to nature for what to eat. Studies show, and the latest one was on 70,000 people, and according to the Mayo Clinic, a third of all cancers could be prevented just with diet and nutrition alone. So what do you eat? You look to nature, because in nature you don't find ice cream trees, donut vines, and potato chip bushes.
You find red meat in nature. Don't
yes,
you?
But I mean growing. You know, study. I'll go a step further here. Vegans, those who don't eat any animal products, including fish, dairy, and eggs, appear to have the lowest rates of cancer of any diet. But here's what's important to note: it's that eating meat or not wasn't the only difference in this study among 70,000 volunteers about their diets. So it wasn't the eating meat that made the big difference, is that most of these people that got cancer had a higher body mass index, were less active, and also were more likely to have smoked. So when it comes to diet, emphasize lots of plants, you know, eat those plants that grow in nature.
Yes. Dr. Jones, let me ask you this. With the last 2 years of absolute fear-mongering and hysteria over COVID, and you writing a lot about stress, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of counterintuitive to then warn people about cancer, do this, do this, do this, and do that. Isn't it kind of counterintuitive? I mean, people have to stop worrying so much, I think, and live life, don't they?
You know, I love that, because the most important thing about being healthy is being positive, and it's your attitude. There was a study done last year at Harvard that people who are positive and optimistic, it's what we need right now, live 10 to 15% longer. My grandmother always used to say to me, your attitude's your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. And you just brought up stress, and it's really not the people in our lives, the complications and the times in which we live that cause us stress, but it's our attitude about the people, the complications and the times, and we're always in charge of our attitude.
Yeah, so, but let me ask you, let me push back just a little on that.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing, and of course, you know, this is what I talk about all the time, so I'm just going to sort of throw it out there. It's one thing to get upset and stressed out about the little stuff. But when you're watching your country fall into tyranny, a country that was created for liberty, for individual freedom, and you see the kind of tyrannical government that is all around us, pretty hard not to get upset about that, to say, well, let's just change our attitude and be positive. What if what you're looking at around you ain't so positive? You can't just, wish it away, can you?
And no, you can't. But listen, I'm with you on everything that you said. And when I get really upset with something I'm watching on TV, I will turn the channel, because sometimes I've never taken any medication in my life. I write about all this in the book, but sometimes you can feel your heart racing and your blood pressure going up. So I'll turn the channel. But I also am a spiritual person, so I know where my prayers need to go in the country. And when you see something negative and it really causes you to be angry, and by the way, you getting angry won't change the situation at all. So the thing that we can do the best in our lives is to try to be as positive as possible, and that way we're going to add a little bit more to the consciousness of this country and this world. But
I'm gonna throw something out again.
I was going to say to count your blessings. You know, don't wait for Thanksgiving, the one day in November. One of the best ways to reduce stress is just focus on things for which you're grateful. And that will help counteract the anger, the fear, just all the negative thoughts you're feeling inside with what's going on with the country.
Okay. Well, because we love dissent and discussion and debate and disagreement, the left doesn't like that, but we do. I'm going to throw out the very, very classic kind of mental health issue. Having practiced, I didn't ever get it right, but I practiced in the mental health field for many years. There are two frames of reference, two ways of approaching uncomfortable, unpleasant emotions. Now, you certainly have to put brackets around them so that you're not acting out your emotions. And it gives me pleasure to be able to talk about this a little bit. Anger can be a great motivator, especially when it's channeled well and you don't lay your anger on people that don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a little uncomfortable when people say, oh, anger, don't get angry. Well, anger is a very relevant, important emotion, especially when you have
that
the kind of righteous anger, right?
And if you don't express how you feel in an appropriate way, it turns within, and that turns within to depression.
Yeah, it can. It really can.
I know.
So we're really in agreement there.
Speaking of feeling uptight and angry, one of the best relievers of that is exercise. Studies for decades have shown that 10 minutes of aerobic exercise causes your body to release enkephalins and endorphins, and they last for several hours. I know I'm a morning person, and I love to get up early in the morning, and I get that workout out of the way. Then I have no excuses the rest of the day. On days I don't work out and don't get those, I call them happy hormones, often the day doesn't seem to go as smoothly, and things that normally would not bother me then bother me. So you've got to prioritize things like sleep, because you have a more positive attitude on a good night's sleep, physical activity, getting supplements like vitamin D, you know, being as healthy as possible.
Yeah. You know what? Well, let's go back to cancer for just a minute after all that happy emotion, and say that along with, you mentioned such good advice, control your weight, don't eat processed meat, stay away from salt, fat, sugar. We've heard all those things for years. What about genetics? If you have a genetic predisposition to breast cancer or other colon cancer, for example, none of us lives forever. I think the illusion is if you just do everything right, you'll live forever. No, you won't. But what do you do about genetics?
So I love that you've asked me that, and this will make everyone happy, because genetics can play a small part in diseases that we have. But Dean Ornish, a medical doctor, did a groundbreaking study in 2008, and he took a group of volunteers, and he found that if he had them do the following things, eat a low fat, and this has to do with cancer and heart disease, if he had them on a low fat diet, 10% fat, 30 minutes of walking 6 days a week, And that's what the cancer prevention programs all recommend, 150 minutes a week. That's 30 minutes a day. And put them in a stress reduction class every day, either yoga, meditation, visualization, or deep breathing. He found in just 3 months that 500 genes changed expression. 48 that protect against cancer were upregulated. They were opened up. And 453 genes that promoted cancer were suppressed, which is strong evidence that we absolutely, with our diet and lifestyle, have control over whether we get cancer or not, or what to do about it if we get it. And it goes a little bit further than that. He looked at these epigenetic changes, and they can be passed down. Listen to this, Karen. They can be passed down through generations if they are made before conception or during pregnancy. During fetal development, epigenetic changes in the pregnant woman can also appear in the daughter's ovaries, thereby affecting the next generation. So to people to say to me all the time, and I cite this study, Susan, I hear what you're saying. It all sounds good, but it's in my genes. It's inevitable. And I say, no, it's not. There's a lot you can do to literally change your gene expression.
Wow. That's pretty big stuff, isn't it?
It is huge. And most people don't know that.
Yeah. What I wonder about, it's interesting, again, a kind of a social commentary type of question with we only have a couple minutes left. I noticed that when the whole COVID thing happened 2 years ago, people are so terrified about their health, about living as long as they can, regardless of the quality of their life. They seem to want quantity of their life, that they were willing to do anything, to stick a rag on their face, shut down their businesses, shut down their churches. It seems as if for decades, Americans have been getting weaker and more fearful and terrified for their health, and in the process, they handed over their most precious liberty. Your thoughts, and just we
you
have
know
only
what?
About a minute.
Listen, I think we're kindred spirits. I agree with you. I'm on this, even though I'm in LA, I'm on the same wavelength with you on everything. So, first of all, I want you to know that. Secondly, you've got to remember in the early days, we didn't know much about this, and we kept getting those ticker things on TV about how many people in every country are dying, and we were all afraid.
Yeah,
but now
and they were inflated
I think
numbers.
There's a new wave, and people are standing up for how they feel, and I'm not going to take this anymore. And yeah. we learn from the past, and things are going to get better.
God willing, that's that positive attitude again. Where can people find you? We got to wrap this up real quick. Where
so
can
go,
people
listen,
find you?
Very simple. If you want to know more about cancer and all about health and my new book, Wired for High Level Wellness, go to my website. It's my name, SusanSmithJones.com. Really is
Susan
my name.
SusanSmithJones.com.
Yeah. And on the left there, I have a 50-minute discussion on cancer called Claim
wow.
Victory Over Cancer if you want more info. And I
Thank
have
you.
A newsletter, a free monthly
newsletter.
I got to
run. I'm so sorry. Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank
Very
you.
Valuable segment. We got to take a quick
Karen.
Break.
Bye.
Bye. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a wonderful guest to join us to wrap up the hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on 1590 AM WSMN.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny,
groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off from school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, trying to stay positive, like Dr. Susan Smith-Jones said. Well, we're going to dive right in with our next guest, who happens to be a candidate for U.S. Congress in North Carolina. Her name is Courtney Giles, and she works in healthcare. So we can talk a little bit about that, but boy, oh boy, we can talk about way a lot of politics because she's running for Congress. Welcome, Courtney Giles, to Spouting Off on WSMN.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. So what made you decide to run? Have you ever run for office before?
I've never run for office. I am a nurse. I've worked mostly emergency room for about 9 years, but I'm seeing how the media is really creating a narrative that's manipulating a lot of people, and it's separating families, separating churches, separating friendships, and we need to get the story straight.
Let me just throw a name out at you, see if you know this person. Have you heard of, or are you familiar with someone named Catherine Murdoch?
I know the last name, but I don't know her or don't know the context.
Okay. If anybody comes to you, and this is kind of right out of the chutes here, I have it on good authority that Catherine Murdoch, who happens to be the daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, who's now, you know, his sons are running Fox News. Catherine Murdoch is one of his daughter-in-laws who has a lot of money to give away. And she's giving it to, shall we say, I used to hate this term, rhino Republicans. Republicans in name only, but Democrats who are actually running as Republicans and lying about what they stand for until they get in office. Not that Democrats would ever do that, mind you. So
no, they love to use good slogans without good slogans, good words, but hide it with really bad things underneath.
Yeah. So if you are offered any money from Catherine Murdoch, and chances are you'll probably be running against somebody who's supported or took money from the Catherine Murdoch Foundation or whatever, please remember that. Put that in your back pocket. I say that for all the listeners out there because all over this country, she's giving money to people who do not stand for freedom, but who actually stand for the leftist Democrat agenda. Thanks. Got that out of the way.
I think what we're seeing a lot of is this elite money that might necessarily not be going to Democrats, like you said, but we have Republicans that are also fighting the same fight, and you can follow the money and find out where these stories and where these narratives are coming from, and they're coming from the elite with money.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us about this race that you're running. When is voter day? When is election day? Is it November of this year?
You know, North Carolina is an interesting state right now. They call it a battleground state for a reason. And we got an extra congressional seat this year based on the 2020 census. So we are still in court. The Democrats sued about a few days before they even put the maps out because our North Carolina assembly is Republican. And so we have a current primary date of, I think it's May 17th, and yes, November as the general election. But unfortunately, our Supreme Court is ruled mostly by Democrats, and they just heard the case to rearrange the maps again yesterday. We don't know what their decision will be, but we are all still in limbo here in North Carolina.
You know what is really amazing is that when Democrats are in control, whether it is the Supreme Court of the United States or of North Carolina or anywhere else, they're incredibly predictable that they're not going to rule fairly or favorably for all. They're going to rule in order to hold power. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I was actually listening to some of their arguments yesterday, and they sound really good, and they sound like we want power in the people's hands. But I think a part of civics that is not taught today, and it wasn't taught well when I was in high school and middle school, is the idea of a republic versus a democracy. And I think that's something we need to really be talking about as Republicans, that it's not just the majority rule that you want, because the Democrats, they love to talk about how they're the party for the minorities, but all they talk about is picking whoever the majority wants. And that is not in putting the power in the power of the people or the power of the minority. And so their arguments were very frustrating because they sounded good, but they are really fighting for just a normal democracy, which gives the power to the majority, which, you know, doesn't help the minority.
As long as they're the majority.
Opposite of their...
They right. talk about minorities as when they're in the minority, but when they're helpful. In the majority, they want a steamroller over everyone else. Let's shift gears just a little and talk about healthcare. What do you do in healthcare, and what are you seeing out there that you can speak to in ways that a lot of people can't?
Well, I'm a nurse, and working mostly emergency room. You know, I am a patient advocate at heart. I am an advocate for people at heart. That's what all nurses really should be. And, you know, the going narrative is if you do not take the vaccine, you don't care about other people, or you don't want to protect your patients. And that has been a lie that was rolled out with the Pfizer vaccine, because no one takes a vaccine to protect someone else. You take it to protect yourself. And what is the most infuriating thing right now about that lie is the patients right now are being harmed by lack of staff. And the going narrative is we are prioritizing the patients by pushing this vaccine in healthcare, when you're losing great healthcare workers to that mandate. And it is actually harming patients, because you, one, have less staff, and the people who are there, are a lot of them are inexperienced new grads that you do not want to be running an ICU.
Mm. So well put, Courtney. Mm-hmm. Have you seen... in your work, this detaching autonomy, not only from the patient, from citizens, but from healthcare professionals making intelligent healthcare decisions. Case in point, the use of remdesivir, which most people, the word has gotten out, that it shuts down the kidneys, and yet mm-hmm. it's still being forced on patients. And it's very difficult to say no. I mean, whatever happened to the patient's Bill of Rights? Are you seeing that in North Carolina, too?
I think what's scary in healthcare from a nurse's point of view is I've given remdesivir. And I didn't really think that much of it when I first started seeing it. I just thought it was antiviral that I hadn't really given very much of. And then I realized later it was under emergency use authorization as well. And it's a big moneymaker for pharmaceutical companies. But as a healthcare professional, we don't think about money. We think about how to take care of the patient well, and we give so many medications. We usually, as nurses, are just looking to see what are we giving it for? What's the dose? What are the side effects we need to be looking for? And so in the emergency room, as far as kidney function, you know, we look at people's kidney function baseline, but we don't look at it, you know, trending. That's more of an ICU thing. So, you know, I was giving it, and then I learned so much about it and realized, you know, this can be harming patients. And I also found out that the best use of it is to be given in early treatment, but we're giving it to all these patients who already are suffering bad consequences of COVID and may already have kidney and liver function problems. And we're actually harming them by giving it. But I don't think that healthcare workers that are so exhausted right now, I don't know that they actually even realize that they're doing it.
Courtney, what I've heard, I'd like you to talk about this a bit. What I've heard and what I've heard from many other guests is that there are hospitalists, doctors who are basically bureaucrats, who are responding to financial incentives for giving one drug over another, one treatment over another, with Fauci and the Fauci protocols directing it all. This collectivism, again, the rule by the majority, erasing individual treatment needs, that is the reason we're seeing this all over the country, this uniform treatment, and the uniform treatment appears to be harming people. You look at that along with the uniform force of an experimental vaccine. Comment on that if you would. Have you seen these hospitalists and what they're directing healthcare professionals to do?
I have asked a doctor once that I was in more of a classroom type setting. I directly asked him, you know, can you give me really a medical reason why we're not using ivermectin? I just don't understand that. And their response at the time, this was probably 6 months ago, was that they don't have evidence-based peer-reviewed studies that show that it's helpful. So why would you give a chemical to someone that you cannot prove that it's helpful? And at the time, I was like, well, that's an educated answer. I appreciate the answer. Thank you. But now, you know, if you're mentioning that there has been proven documentation of any doctor that is taking any money to give a certain treatment, that is directly against our yearly compliance stuff that we are drilled in about anti-kickback law. So I would recommend anyone that knows any factual evidence of any physician taking money related to what they are ordering for a patient, please contact me, because that is a direct no-no in the healthcare field. And if we can find out that direct information, that would be monumental.
Well, there are financial incentives for certain treatments of COVID that are not true. This is, again, what I've heard. I'd like to verify that with you. Not true of 101 other illnesses in which suddenly physicians are allowed to treat patients the way they see fit. The minute it comes to COVID, which is a political football for 100 different reasons, there are financial incentives that you will treat patients this way. I've even heard, if you haven't, and I know people who, when their loved one passed away, they were offered $8,000 or $9,000 to say it was COVID, and then they could bury their loved one. That's what I've heard. Have you?
I have not heard that one, but all I can say is, how does this not make national news?
Because we have a propaganda media?
Yes.
That's why.
It's just mind-blowing to me. Like, if that's really eyewitness true, I have been thinking we just so have to manually tell people this stuff, but so many people that have information, whether it's on a side effect of a drug, or like they see a death certificate that says the person, you know, died from COVID when they know they didn't die from COVID. Like, we need these eyewitness accounts, and we need them compiled in video form so that we can share it to as many people as we can, because all of this information, it's like the other side doesn't believe that there's any truth to it because it doesn't get out.
Well, that's true. That's the generous position. The other position is that they're in a cult and they believe and they do whatever they're told to do by their democratic Marxist betters. Let's just jump back to your race here. Are there a lot of people running for this new seat?
Well, like I said, it could get scrambled up. Right now I'm running for a blue seat that's been held by an incumbent named David Price, who is retiring for around 20, 30 years. It's been a long time. So there's a lot of people who are ready for him to go. And I don't know if you've heard, Clay Aiken, he was second runner-up in American Idol, is also running for this seat, for the Democrat seat. So it's a pretty interesting race already. There's not a lot of Republicans, but we have not filed yet to see officially who is going to run in the seat. But I think there's one or two that might run against me.
Right. Well, let's talk about what you do if you did win a seat in Congress. I love that you're running. Again, beware of Catherine Murdoch money, and beware of that with other Republicans who might be running who are taking Catherine Murdoch money, although it's a blue seat, as you put it. So let's just jump ahead in the best case scenario, what you would do when you got to Congress.
Well, I would say I have three goals. One is to make a law against medical mandates related to this vaccine if anyone is taking public federal money. The second thing would be to create a voucher system for the money that is going from the federal government to education, that it would go directly to parents in a voucher form, and ideally attached to a rule that the state also has to match that as a voucher form, or the federal government will not give any money to the state. That would be ideal, but that's extreme, but that's my goal. And the last thing would be to reform the crime bill of 1994, as that's a Democrat bill that does have underlying racial inequality features that are, of course, not brought to light with the media, but it's actually the Democrats who usually create these problems in criminal justice reform that has actually harmed the Black community, and I'd like to bring that to light.
Why, that is great. Very succinct, too.
Thank you.
If you made it to Congress, would you join people, some of the most they're the most outspoken, they tend to support Donald Trump, and they get in the crosshairs of the left that are doing everything they can to smear him, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and her name escapes me from Colorado, and I'm from Colorado. It's escaping me. But would you be part of the Liberty Caucus of Congress?
I would definitely want to get to know these people on a personal level before I joined anyone or tied my name to anything. I was asked by a reporter, you know, who would be someone that I'd want to be mentored by? And I think that's kind of like that question of, like, who's your hero when you're growing up? And I always say Jesus. And so I'm going to make any decision that I make through biblical lens. And so I would have to get to know those people on a personal level to join efforts with them.
Well, you know what, Courtney, that would put you at odds with most of the left already, just by saying that. The name of the person I was thinking of was Lauren Boebert, who was very, very outspoken. And, you know, I'm from Colorado originally, and she is among the strong conservatives, and they have sort of bonded and joined together. And yes, they are targets. So anyway, tell everybody, since we only have about a minute left, how they can find you, follow you, support your race and your campaign.
Absolutely. Well, I am on Twitter as much as I don't want to be. You kind of have to be to sway some people. So I'm on Twitter, Getter, Instagram, and Facebook. All of my handles are at Courtney Giles. And on Facebook, it's Courtney Giles for Congress. And my website is CourtneyGilesForCongress.com. And anyone who is out of state, if they are willing to donate $2,200, $2,000, we like to stick with the twos, but I will take anything in between. This is going to be an expensive race, and the Democrats like to throw money at things. So if anyone's willing to support that way, I would highly appreciate it.
Okay. So then the name, the way to spell Giles is G-E-E-L-S. Why do you do twos so much? Curious.
I thought it was, you know, I have asked for money multiple different ways, and I hate the whole ask in the first place, but that was recommended to me because most people can give $20, and so that's an easy lower ask, and then, you know, it just kind of rolls off
the
tongue.
And it's 22. That's why it's the year 22 already.
I like that.
Welcome. thank you so much, Courtney Giles, CourtneyForCongress.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, that about wraps it for this edition of Spouting Off Thursday. There will be another live edition to Spouting Off on Friday at KarenCataline.com. Thanks to Art and to Juan and to George and everybody who makes the show possible. And tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, when there will be so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.